As consumers, we are bombarded by it at every turn, like the Incredible Hulk being bombarded by gamma rays. But what makes some media endure, while others are banished to the forgotten black hole of obscurity, never to be heard from again? Who or what decides this? Hetero life mates Steve and Yehel want to know, and they want to know now. This is Obscurity Now.
Hello, and welcome to Obscurity Now, the show that takes a look at weird and almost forgotten pieces of media. I'm your host, Steven Seagal, and with me is a man who's paralyzed because he has a bullet in his spine because I couldn't act fast enough. It's
Yehel. How are you doing, Steve? Oh, wait, I'm supposed to be the guy that's like...
You have to be laying there covered in...
It's real sweaty.
Covered in sweat. Meanwhile, Steven Seagal doesn't have a drop on him.
Dry as a bone.
Meanwhile, I'm going to do the entire podcast with my sunglasses on, just like Seagal did the entire movie with...
You know, I hear the best way to shoot a sniper rifle is with your sunglasses on.
Yeah, you know,
from what I understand.
I really wanted to look that up because, believe it or not, Yehel, I don't know anything about firing a sniper rifle. I know. But it doesn't seem like it would be the best choice.
Well, I mean, I asked someone who was in the military, mm-hmm. and I sent them like a timestamp on the... So this movie that we're talking about, mm-hmm. Sniper Special Ops, it's available on Tubi for anybody that, I don't know, is mad at themselves. And so I sent them some timestamps of some of Seagal's moves mm-hmm. with his weaponry. And I was like, hey, I got a couple questions. Is it okay to snipe with sunglasses on? Is this like a thing? And he's like, no, you don't generally want to do that. There is some like protective eyewear, but generally if you're sniping, you don't want to do that, he said. And then also I sent him in the film, Seagal switches his weapon from his right to his left all the time. And when I say right to left, I don't mean he's holding it, he's moving his arms left to right. He's got the butt of the gun against his right shoulder. He like spins it, and now the butt of the gun is against his left shoulder. He switched, where now his left hand is on the trigger instead of the right. So he's like ambidextrously using the guns in this movie, which is also, Steve, not a thing.
Yeah, do you think he was doing that because he wanted to show how cool he was? Or maybe I think...
He does...
Was that...
I know that it's something he does in a lot of these direct-to-DVD movies uh-huh. or direct-to-video movies. And I kind of hate that we ended up watching this one because it's... He's not in it very much, and I know of way worse movies that he's done in the last few years where he's in it more prominently. But it's wrestler month, so we basically picked this because Rob Van Dam is in it.
He's in it, I feel like, almost less than Steven Seagal. Or, maybe a little bit more, but he just does...
Maybe he has about the same amount of lines.
Yeah, right. Well, according to the trivia on IMDb, and we're... gonna go through that towards the end because it's questionable at best, but according to whoever wrote it, he is in the movie for 10 minutes, and by he I mean
Steven Seagal. He's in it more than 10 minutes.
That is why the trivia is questionable. There's a lot of other stuff in there that's I think it was written just for laughs, really. And yeah, I guess IMDb is just run by bots or algorithms, and they'll just take whatever. After all,
well, they let human beings post whatever they want to it. I think is the real problem.
And that's how this podcast ended up on there.
Yeah. But, I don't know. I mean, I could see how it might feel like he's on the screen for 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. I could also see how it might feel like he's on the screen for 100 minutes.
Right, because Steven Seagal moves at the pace of a three-toed sloth, basically, in this movie most of the time. Or a snail, if you will, a Galapagos turtle. And he kind of resembles one with his glasses and his backwards hat and his goatee or whatever. But why don't we go ahead and...
By the way, Steven, when did the Army... I guess I'll save it for when we get into it.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you want to go ahead and dive into Sniper Special Ops. You ready?
Sure.
Welcome to your feature presentation.
So, first off, all right, I feel like this is basically a geezer teaser, which is a term, you know, or kind of a style of film that we explored with, I think, like a Bruce Willis, or when we talked about his cartoon or something, where, yeah, as you said, Steven Seagal is not in this very much, and the film is actually carried by, I mean, we'll get into the cast here in a minute, like, basically, the film is carried by unknowns, more or less. What were your
right.
What were your expectations like going into this movie?
Well, I mean, I expected there to be more Steven Seagal than there was. Mm-hmm. He's not really the protagonist, you know. It's really this
lead.
Other guy.
He's not
Vic.
Really the lead. Yeah, Vic.
He's not really the lead. Yeah. Vic is really the lead. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that was disappointing because, you know, you watch a modern Steven Seagal movie to see him give you a terrible performance. And don't get me wrong, he gives you a terrible
yes,
performance, but just not a lot of it. So, yeah, I was disappointed in that sense. But I this is a weird movie because it's like it's not good. Right. But it's also not quite as bad as you'd expect.
Right. Yeah. It's very very mediocre and forgettable.
Yeah. Yeah, forgettable. I'd say boring because, I mean, this really felt like 45 minutes worth of quote-unquote story dragged into an hour and a half.
That, I mean, you basically get an action scene at the beginning. There's a little bit peppered in the middle, and then you have one at the end. And that is basically the entire movie, as we're about to see. Yeah, I mean, I think much like yourself, you know, I wanted a laughably bad, like, Steven Seagal sort of Saturday afternoon time waster. Yeah, this thing is didn't really provide too many laughs. If anything, I felt bad for the other actors who weren't Seagal or RVD. Because you can tell they're trying. Their agents, you know, were just like, hey, you know, don't you want to be in a movie with Steven Seagal? And, of course, they're like, oh, yeah, of course I do. I haven't been in anything yet. And they threw him in there, and this is what they ended up with, for better or worse. So let's dive into the IMDb here. Once again, this is called Sniper Special. Are you familiar with the other Sniper movies? Like, I think it started with Tom Berenger, like the original Sniper.
So I didn't know if they were like connected or not, because there's a lot of movies named Sniper than
right,
something.
Right.
So I guess no is the answer. Though.
Yeah. I mean, I think the first Sniper movie is actually supposed to be pretty good. I mean, since there were so many, I guess, direct to video ones made after it. But yeah, I don't think this is any kind of connected cinematic universe or anything like that. And do you think the special and special ops means, you know, special needs since Seagal is there? You know what I mean?
It's possible.
All right, so here we go. Sniper Special Ops, 1 hour 24 minutes, rated R. Do you think that R rating is deserving?
What is it even rated R for?
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's okay, so dudes get shot, there's no blood or blood spray.
Very little blood and no blood splatter. Like you'll see the blood on their clothes, like having like been soaked into their clothing after they've been shot. But yeah, I don't think there's any squibs or
right.
even any digital blood splits.
Yeah, I'm surprised there wasn't more digital blood, but I mean, I guess that would have taken more time and money, which they clearly didn't have.
Yeah, although I will say I was also surprised that there was no digital. The word just escaped. You know, when you shoot a. No, when you shoot a gun,
oh,
the
muzzle,
thing that comes out,
muzzle shot,
muzzle
flash,
flashes.
Yeah,
yeah. I expected there to be a lot of, you know, digital muzzle flash, but no, they were using blanks, which this is from 2016. That's pretty rare.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Steven Seagal threw his weight around, like literally.
Well, no, because I mean, I know in a lot of there's a YouTube channel that I would recommend you check it out called Space Ice that. At least his Steven Seagal movie reviews, he's covered a lot of like his more recent direct-to-video stuff in the last 10 years or so. And now it's very typical for them to have like fake muzzle flash in his movies. So
sure, yeah, they're as cheaply made as possible. I guess the only draw that is supposed to make somebody watch them is the fact that Steven Seagal is there. And I can't imagine, you know, even, you know, myself, I grew up like watching like Steven Seagal and Van Damme and all that stuff. Like back in the 90s, my dad took me to those movies. And even back in the day, I was like, oh yeah, Seagal's pretty cool, but I mean, he's like not as good as Van Damme. He like never gets off of his feet, or like, you know, there's no high kick like what Van Damme has.
Yeah, he's very rarely do you see him do anything like kicks or
yeah.
It's a lot of up close stuff where it's just like keto hand slapping, you
right?
Know?
Yeah.
That's like
so yeah, my question
useless in a real fight.
Exactly. So my question to you is like, where are you? Like, I mean, what's your history with Steven Seagal films?
I mean, I was never a fan. Mm-hmm. I mean, I always thought it was pretty obvious that he's pretty limited action. I just never saw the appeal. And I think it could be because, you know, like his first big movie, which now the name escapes me, but was like
Hard to Kill.
Yeah, I think it might have been Hard to Kill. Mm-hmm. That was either his first or second, mm-hmm. maybe. But yeah, around that time, I mean, those movies were like released. Like On Deadly Ground, Above the Law. That's what I was thinking of, Above the Law. Mm-hmm. That was in 1988. I was like 8 years old.
Right, right.
You know, so it's not like I was into action movies per se yet, but yeah, and then once I saw him, like as a teenager, I was like, this guy?
Well, yeah, I mean, I definitely wasn't watching him back in 1988, but I just remember like when we finally got cable and my friends across the street, they had HBO. Like Seagal movies were on all the time. And it was, I think, Out for Justice, Hard to Kill, all those three named movies.
Under Siege.
Yeah, see, Under Siege is actually a pretty decent movie because he isn't in it very much, just like this one. And I remember...
And who is in it?
Tommy Lee Jones. Yeah.
And Gary Busey.
Yeah, yeah, and they pretty... I mean, you know, they carry the movie, and then he shows up, does his little wacky hand stuff. Like, basically, the only thing people remember Seagal for is his ponytail, and, you know, when he does the arm break over a guy's, like, shoulder. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, that'll be his lasting legacy on cinema, if he has one. Sadly, he's just, you know, pretty much seen as a big joke now, which it seems like he always was, but, like, how did he get to, you know, the top of the mountain if he was a big phony this whole time? It's so confusing.
I definitely recommend that if you really want to know the story, there's a podcast called The Dollop, a really funny comedy podcast. They have a three-part series about Steven Seagal, mm-hmm. and how he basically weaseled his way into Hollywood, and it has to do with him lying about his background.
Oh, I know about
that. There's
a lot
of YouTube videos about it, mm-hmm. too, and also him getting in with some mobsters. Oh. And they're really the ones that kind of got him into
I see. All right. That makes sense. Yeah, I started watching a video. I need to finish it. They were comparing Seagal and Neil Breen, which, man, I really need to get you to watch a Neil Breen movie so we can...
I've been wanting to, but I haven't just to wait for the podcast.
Well, his latest is out, or it's already had like a limited release. Somehow we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. But
By the way, good news, Above the Law 2, starring Nicolas Cage returning as Nico, is in pre-production.
Oh, wow. That sounds amazing. So, all right, we talked about Steven. I will say the one Steven Seagal movie that I do remember liking back in the day, now I haven't watched it in a long time. I mean, I guess aside from Under Siege, is the one where he has a sword fight with like a Jamaican voodoo guy at the end. Do you remember that one?
I don't, but I remember one Steven Seagal movie that I really liked, Executive Decision, because he's in it for like the first five minutes,
right.
And he immediately gets killed.
Yeah, oh yeah, that one.
He gets like sucked out of the plane, and that was like, because I remember, I mean, he's not like the lead, obviously, in Executive Decision, it's Kurt Russell, mm-hmm. but he was advertised, like promoted heavily as being one of the stars. And then, like, he dies, like, within 5 or 10 minutes. He gets, like, sucked out of a plane. I think that's the movie I'm thinking of when that happens.
That's it. You're correct. And I think I heard he ended up pissing someone off because he didn't want to do something. So they just killed him off, basically, which is
good.
Pretty amazing. Yeah, you're like, oh, if only he would have died in real life. So aside from Seagal, let's talk about RVD here. I mean, we both know him as an amazing wrestler. Have you ever seen him act in anything besides this?
Yeah, I don't remember the name of it, but I saw a movie with him and Batista that they did together. Dude, this is back, I think, when we were living together.
I think we watched it together, actually. Yeah,
right.
And I can't
remember. Yeah, I think it was like Batista's first role in anything.
Yes.
Batista was not good. Neither was Rob.
No one was good.
But I remember, like, the movie was fun and, you know, like, they knew they were making a kind of a crappy movie and they leaned into it.
Yes. Not like this, where it just somehow disappears into a pocket of mediocrity.
Right,
we're
right.
About to see. So, well, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and, you know, I will say Van Damme, like, I don't think he does, like, a terrible job in this movie. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have, like, a blowaway performance, but it's not bad. He just doesn't get a lot to do, so it's hard to, like, really even judge it.
Yeah. The script is very bare bones, and a lot of the characters are underdeveloped, as we're about to see. So here's the synopsis for Sniper Special Ops. Well, first off, I will say it premiered May 3rd, 2016 here in the USA. And here's the synopsis. When the mission to rescue a U.S. congressman who has been kidnapped by the Taliban goes sideways, Army Sniper and his partner are left behind. Now, they must survive in enemy territory and wait for their unit to come back for them. That's funny because that is the B plot, basically. The A plot is like Vic, basically, you know, having to come back and get them, more or less. Hey, whatever. So this is...
By the way, the movie that we were talking about with Batista and RVD, it's Wrong Side of Town. And Ja Rule was in it, too.
Oh, gosh. Wow. Man, we should have just rewatched that. God, what were we thinking?
Maybe we should have, actually.
Yeah, well, we'll put it on the list. So this is written and directed by auteur Fred Olen Ray. Are you familiar with the works of Fred Olen Ray?
No.
All right. Well, he has directed over 167 movies. His
totally normal number of movies have directed.
And they run the gamut from, you know, B horror, which is sort of what he started out in. And then he sort of graduated into softcore porn. His earlier work is his most memorable. Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers is actually like a fun watch that I would recommend if anyone is interested in checking out the filmography of Fred Olen Ray. And Evil Tunes, it's basically a, I don't know, I would say sort of borderline slasher softcore porn, but they animated in like some cartoons, basically. So it's like inspired by Roger Rabbit, more or less. And this came out in the 80s, so it's not like a, you know, it's not like they had computers to do it. So what I'm saying is that it's a cinematic triumph, Yehel, and you need to watch it. And then, of course, there's his other works such as Sexual Witchcraft and Tarzina, Jiggle in the Jungle. I don't know. I can't really speak to those. But yeah, his earlier work is kind of fun, just sort of direct-to-video horror B-movie stuff. And yeah, he pretty much writes and directs everything himself. And all of his movies, surprisingly, usually come in underneath the $500,000 mark. So that's going to do it for me. We already talked about a lot of the cast here. Why don't you fill us in on some of the people who actually tried?
Yeah, so there's a pretty big cast. So I'm not going to go deep into what they've done because, frankly, most of it is direct-to-video stuff or like very small roles and things. I do want to touch on... Actually, I'm going to touch on Tim Abell. How would you pronounce his last name?
Abell looks right, yeah.
Abell. So who's like the lead, the real lead in the movie. Mm-hmm. I'll come to him last because I do want to talk about him.
Okay.
A little bit.
Sure.
But anyways, like you mentioned, Rob Van Dam, he's in this. He plays Vasquez. I'm not going to talk about him anymore.
Does Rob Van Dam have any like Hispanic lineage? Why is he Vasquez?
I not as far as I know, but perhaps, I don't know. We've got Charlene Amoya, who plays Janet. Excuse me. She's still acting. She had something come out last year called A Royal Christmas Holiday, which looks to be like a follow-up to, I guess there's like a Royal Christmas blank series or something of films. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she's got 97 credits to her name. She's been in The Conjuring. She's done a few things.
Yeah, she looked familiar. She looked familiar.
Yeah. Then we've got Anthony Batars, who plays Bashir. He's also got a pretty hefty resume here, probably best known from being on SEAL Team 6. Mm-hmm. But it looks like he was doing ADR mostly for them.
Oh, okay.
Actually, now that I'm looking, yeah, it looks like he's mostly a loop group actor. For those that don't know, that's somebody who does like background audio of characters or something.
Good for him.
But yeah, nothing major. Then we've got, where am I here? Daniel Bucco. Or when you saw this guy, this is the guy that was like all sweaty mm-hmm. with Steven Seagal, who was paralyzed.
His sidekick, yeah.
Did he remind you of like a young AJ Styles?
Oh, 100%. Oh, yeah.
He looked just like a young AJ Styles.
If only they just would have cast AJ. That would have really.
That would have been all. Yeah. AJ's too good of an actor for this film. But anyways, he's done a lot of voice acting and loop group stuff, which is two separate things. yeah, he's most recently listed as a voice actor on Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom. So I don't know. Sounds like he did background stuff.
Oh,
for
good
that.
For him.
Yeah, good for him. I mean, he was all right.
Yeah, everybody in here, aside from Seagal, of course, is all right.
I wouldn't say everybody, but just about everybody.
Sure.
Who else did I want to touch on here? Scott Thomas Reynolds. He plays Jennings. That's the guy who like tries to fix the truck. Mm-hmm. Again, he's kept working steadily, just not in anything that you've probably ever heard, unless you're a big fan of the film Dick Dixter.
Oh, that's my favorite movie with the word dick in it.
Oh, okay. this movie sounds kind of ridiculous. Anyway. And then we've got, I do want to talk about Rita Corey. She plays Jada, which is like supposed to be like the, one of the lead Taliban guys, like daughter-in-law.
Yeah. Something like that. Yep.
It's a daughter-in-law, mm-hmm. but, the reason why I wanted to touch on her is she's done a bunch of stuff too. She's still acting, but she was in an episode of Conan, the TBS show. Conan O'Brien. Oh. She was in a skit as Rita. The segment was called Sex Collider. And she was also did like a she played Snooki on Jimmy Kimmel Live. I'm guessing on a skit there too. Mm. And she had like some other comedy stuff in her IMDb. So it's just kind of interesting that she's in this.
Yeah, yeah. I don't get comedy vibes from her in this. But hey, that just shows her range.
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't have any lines really
right.
So anyways, so outside of that, I mean, let's go ahead and talk about Tim Abel. Mm-hmm. The lead, he plays Vic. He's also got a pretty lengthy resume on IMDb, 112 credits. Some of it is stuff you've heard of, a lot of it is direct to video. He was also in Dick Dixter, by the way.
Check that out.
Yeah, but you know, he's been in like TV shows and stuff as well, and some other movies. But the reason why I wanted to talk about this man is, Steve, this should be like a reoccurring segment where it's like, did this person write their own IMDb bio or not?
Oh, nice. Okay.
An exciting, eclectic actor. Tim Abel is a man of his own making. And when that making includes teaching ballroom dancing, horse training, writing, cooking, acting, producing, and being a U.S. Army Ranger with the 75th Ranger Regiment, you can see it as a formidable combination.
Wow. That sounds like a wrestling promo.
Yeah, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I do want to touch on a couple other parts. From Maryland and Virginia areas, a young man, Tim took up martial arts and boxing. Okay, hold on. I did not want to read that. At the age of 17, he joined the Army and, owing to outstanding leadership skills, was promoted during basic training. Now, Steven, who would know that he was promoted during basic training at the age of 17.
He would
have that information. Oh, yes, yes. Anyways, it goes on, like, gaining further promotions, Tim achieved a substantial number of awards due to his expertise in many varied fields. And soon you'll see he's going to be plus actor when he joined the 3rd U.S. Infantry, the Old Guard, which is like an entertainment platoon in the Army. That's what he did his last year in the Army. Here, he excelled as a horseman. I guess that means he rode horses and played Robert E. Lee and Andrew Jackson charging into battle on his trusty steed in the U.S. Army dramatic reenactment of the history of the United States Torchlight Tattoo.
Wow.
Anyway, well, it goes on and on about how after that, he was encouraged to dance. Okay. And he joined the Arthur Murray Studio, but he was soon teaching class because he was so good. So he was told, hey, maybe you should go learn how to dance at this big dance studio. And they were like, Tim, you're so good. Why don't you teach us how to dance?
Wow.
So, yeah, anyways, and this goes on and on and on. But needless to say, Tim has had a legitimately interesting life.
Sure.
He's been at a bunch of stuff, but it's very clear he also wrote this.
Right. I do think that that's a fun segment that we should look into. But
Steve, what do you think Tim Abell's age is?
Man, from this movie, gosh, he looks like mid to late. It's hard to tell because he's got a lot of hair, like he's got his beard and stuff, but it's got to be like 45. Like,
oh, you're being generous. I was thinking like closer to 60.
Okay. Well, how old is he?
But I don't know, because on his IMDb, he only wrote born July 1st. He didn't write his age, which the year, which is another telltale sign to me that he wrote this and he doesn't want anybody to know his age. But I mean, we can kind of deduce a little bit because his first credit is dated 1990. And that was already like minimum five. That had to be based on like when he went into the Army and how long he was there and his dancing escapades afterwards. So he's already almost 30 in 1990.
Right. Okay.
And then this is like taking place, you know, 26 years later.
So yeah, 50,
so,
60.
Yeah, he's closer to 60.
Yeah, yeah. And I just...
And Steven...
What's up?
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say Steven Seagal was 64 during this film.
Yeah, I was wondering. I'm like, does the military allow all these like all this long hair and goatees and stuff?
That's the other thing I was going to bring up earlier was like, since when does the Army let you have beards and ponytails? Because like half this platoon is like constantly fighting to keep their hair out of their eyes.
Right. Yeah. Tell me about it. So should we dive into this riveting movie?
Sure.
I'm loving the Steven Seagal energy here. All right.
Yes, man. Let me tell you, I can't wait to dive into this movie, man. It reminds me of my little brother, man.
I love it when he, we're going to get to him, like, he starts having like a Cajun accent at some point.
Yes. Yes. I was watching it with someone. They were like, is this a Cajun accent?
And I think, isn't that one of his weird sort of things, is that he says that he's Cajun, but he's not? Or I don't know. All right. We got to talk through this thing because I got a hard out. So here we go. Okay. Open on a montage of war footage. We see deserts, crumbling buildings. It's basically your typical montage that you would have seen during 2016 on any sort of, I don't know, 24, any of those like, you know, Middle East inspired spy or military shows or movies. Then we get our title screen, and then there's more shots of a Middle Eastern town. At least it's supposed to be. I seriously doubt it.
Definitely not California.
Oh yeah. Look, so I live, you know, in California, and I lived for a period of time in Dubai. And there is a huge difference between the deserts of the Middle East and the deserts here of California. And these are definitely here in California. That is where this is shot. So anyway, Seagal sits looking through the scope of a rifle with his sidekick looking through binoculars. They spy a guy drinking a flask. Seagal, he's so cool. He shoots the guy's flask. Then he shoots the guy. And then there's no blood. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, no. I think I know how this movie's going to be. How about yourself?
Yeah, same thing. And I love how, like, Seagal is, like, the... It's weird. Is like Vic the lead guy or Seagal? Because Seagal's like calling the shots
right
here. By the way, do you remember what Seagal's like cool army nickname was?
I mean, I know his name in the movie is Jake. I can't remember his nickname though. No.
Overwatch.
Oh, that's it. Yes, yes. Okay. And then and Vic's name is Dogbite.
They never explain his name, but they I think the only name that they really explain is Detroit, the guy
right,
that fixes the
he's from there. Yeah, I mean at least
no, that's not why.
Because he fixes
Vic says they call hey Jennings, they call you Detroit because you can fix cars, right?
Yeah.
What in the 80s morning cartoon is this?
Right. I mean, I'll give Fred Olen Ray credit for trying to add a little something to this incredibly boring script. But yeah, it wasn't enough. Anyway, so a guy finds the body. Seagal shoots him, or a bad guy finds the body. Seagal then shoots him. His sidekick, let's just call him AJ Styles, says, all clear. And then a team goes in. And then we keep looking through this a heads up display. I don't even know what that is supposed to be. Like, do you know what I'm talking about? At the beginning here,
was it supposed to be like the sniper crosshair thing?
I guess. But it wasn't a cross. It was something else. I don't know. I think they were just trying to be cool. One of the soldiers picks up the flask and he says it belonged to like Johnny Long John Silver or something like that. Then they creep around the town, pointing guns, all while Seagal just sits there doing nothing. And that's when it started to, like, dawn on me. I'm like, ah, I get it. I see why Seagal is a sniper. So he can sit in the same room for the whole film and not do anything. And that's when I knew we were going to get the movie that we got.
Mm-hmm.
So the soldier finds the dog tags on the ground. They then breach a building. Van Damme at this point looks high and confused. And then Seagal starts talking about the $50 he owes to Vic through the radio. That's like their sort of, I don't know, what do you want to call that? Like
flirting?
Yeah, basically. Hey, we're friends. I loaned you money. You're going to pay me back when we're done with all this, right? It's kind of like the, you know, in Lethal Weapon, like, I'm going to retire and sell my boat, like, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it's just a little something you say before you go on a killing spree.
Absolutely. So they are looking for a security detail. Then another door opens and they find the corpse of the security detail. They're all dead. Even though we don't like, it's weird though. Okay. So this room is supposed to be filled with corpses. And what do we get to see? Do you remember?
Like an arm, yeah. Like half an arm sticking up from the ground.
Yeah, man. See,
I guess it's got like rigor mortis.
Yeah. Fred Olen Ray. He knows all the tricks to keep
but
that
yeah,
budget
this
down.
This scene takes so long because basically, so they're looking for this congressman who you think is going to be like important and like to the main plot or whatever, but it's really not.
Nope.
And like every time they like go into a room and they find that the person's not there, they like call back to Seagal on the radio and it takes forever. They're like, they can't just say, hey, there was nobody in this room. Jim's got to go check now.
Yeah.
No, it's like, overseer, this is Dogbite. Do you hear me steady? Yeah, this is Overwatch here, blah, blah, blah. Like it's like, you know, 10 lines of dialogue just for them to like then say, no joy on the package.
Right, right. I think old Freddy here wanted to show that he like bothered to like look up the proper radio jargon or something.
Did he?
I mean, I don't know either. I mean, I'm guessing he would do that.
I mean, another thing that I was told is that these weapons that they're using wouldn't even be like issued in the military.
Oh, you think so? Why do you?
No,
say
the guy I sent it to. He said like the barrels weren't the right length for some of the weapon, and some of the weapons just aren't used. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So, and I'm kind of surprised about that because I would think that at the very least, this movie, I feel like it would only appeal to people that are like in the army and that's their personality.
Right.
So you would think you'd want to make that stuff accurate, mm-hmm. the stuff related to it, but no, apparently not.
Or maybe just like kids that like to play, I don't know, those popular
Call of Duty.
Yeah, there it is. That's what I was looking for.
I don't think kids that play Call of Duty are looking up Steven Seagal movies.
Well,
they're busy playing Call of Duty.
Are you trying to say that this movie appeals to no one? Because I think you might be right.
It appeals to Steven Seagal's checkbook.
Yeah, I'm sure he got like $5,000 and like a nice sandwich or something. So they leave, they kick open another door, and they find a guy tied up, and it's the congressman. They cut him down, and he's dazed. So they wake him up with a syringe full of whatever. Dog Bite, a.k.a. Vic, asks for a helicopter or a bird, as they call it. But they say there is no bird.
The terrorists will never figure out what he means.
The bird is not available. There is the bird is not the word. And I say the reason why there's no bird is because they don't have a budget to rent a helicopter, let alone fly one. So then they exit that area. Congressman and bad guy shows up. They exit that area with the congressman. Then a bad guy shows up. Seagal shoots him. Other bad guys show up, and then there's a firefight. So enjoy this bit of action, because afterwards there's not going to be any for a while. Seagal shoots. So this is when Seagal switches to a machine gun for some reason. Why do you think? Like, what is the reason? Like, you're a sniper. And then all of a sudden, you're just like, oh, well, I'm going to switch to a machine gun for some reason.
He's good with every weapon.
Oh, he's good with every weapon. He's the best at everything. Gotcha. So they keep cutting to Van Damme. He keeps delivering these lines that really have nothing to do with what's going on. It's just like, oh, look, they're over there. Oh, wait, now we're over here. Like, do you remember this scene?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of just pointless dialogue just to fill in like between gunshots. And this is a terrible action scene because there's a lot of shooting. By the way, I don't know if I said it to you, but one of the posters advertising this movie at the top, you know how like movie posters will sometimes like have like blurbs from good reviews.
Uh-huh.
It just said extensive firefights. Like,
nice.
But that's the only part of the sentence from the review they included. So it could have been like, there's extensive firefights that will bore you to death.
Right, right. That's the only part of the review they could find that wasn't insulting. I gotcha.
Yeah, because I agree. There are extensive firefights in this movie, but they're not good. You can't really tell who's shooting at who. Like, it doesn't line up a lot of times, where guys are aiming mm-hmm. to where the enemies are.
The telltale sign of a cheap movie is a lack of a wide shot. And there's no wide shots in this. It's just people shooting off frame, and then they cut to the person they were shooting at, and that person dies. But you really have no idea where anything is in relation to itself. So,
right.
That's a telltale sign right there. So they, one of his Van Damme's line is, at least they're not behind us. I don't know if that's supposed to be funny, but he definitely said that line. I can definitely attest to that.
And then the other guy's like, not yet.
Yeah. So they shoot all the bad guys, and then they move out. One of the good guys gets shot, and then another. And then Vic, a.k.a. Dog Bite, he just keeps barking orders over and over. And this is when I wrote, I would kill for a wide shot, but we never get one. So then I was surprised some actual Hummers drive in. Was there anything suspicious about those Hummers?
They looked like they were vehicles made to look like military vehicles that aren't really military vehicles.
I was just going to say, just because of how clean they were, there's not a speck of dust on them. And I would say that also goes to a lot of the costumes here. Aside from sweaty AJ Styles, no one gets any blood or dirt on them for the most part. It's like they didn't bother to like dirty up the costumes. That's all. We finally get a medium shot of Seagal like moving around, and man, does he look like he could probably skip a few meals. And he's moving as slow as a slug. And then this is when his sidekick gets shot. And I wrote here, you think they allow snipers to let themselves go in the military, Yahel, since they're always just sitting around anyway?
He's so good at his job, yeah. Steve, that
I felt muscular.
He can do whatever he wants. He's like, I'll only stay in the military, man, if if you let me eat whatever I want and all my boys can grow their hair.
Right. We all have to have ponytails. So this reminds me of I felt muscular and compact like corned right. beef.
By the way, Seagal starting every other sentence with ma'am. That's like something he does in all of his, these like direct to video movies. So I don't know if it's like something he does when he can't quite remember the line or just something to get himself going.
Right. But, it's how he gets into the role, man. Don't you know, man, about, the Seagal method of acting, man?
I'm a fool. I've been a fool, Steven.
I'm going to apply it to my podcasting from here on out, man. So let's see. They all board the Hummers and they move out. They tend to the injured. Seagal carries his sidekick up some stairs. And now we are at a military base. There is a colonel, you know, your typical old guy colonel. He tells pretty reporter. Do you remember her name? Janet.
The character's name?
Janet, that's it. The character's name is Janet, yeah. So Colonel tells Janet it's too dangerous for her to go out. And of course she is, you know, not happy with that because she is your typical sort of, I want to be where the action is, you know, your Lois Lane type, more or less. So the Hummer arrives, the soldiers exit with the congressman. Janet tries to take pictures, but, Vic manhandles her out of the way. I hope she spoke to her HR rep about that. He takes her camera and pretends to drop it, but he doesn't. She then tries to enter the area where they took the congressman and Van Damme and another soldier. They like walk out and they're like, you need to step aside, ma'am. And then Van Damme walks out behind the guy and goes, yeah, you need to step aside. And then they both just leave. And she could have just walked right in. Instead, she just sort of walks off. I don't know. What did you think of that scene?
I mean, just awful. I think she's not very good. But I think she's probably besides Seagal, the worst actor in the film. Tim Abel, you know, like he's pretty decent, I would say. Uh-huh. And he definitely like tries. I mean, most everybody tries. But yeah, like I found her to be pretty bad. But I mean, a lot of the dialogue they give her stupid, too. Like she's like, oh, what? You think I'm a jinx? Because the last time I was covering like a war zone, somebody got shot. Whole like her being a jinx
again. Yeah, I mean
being bad luck storyline.
Right. I mean that's old Freddy Boy trying to sprinkle a little bit of something on this very bland script, but it's all underdeveloped, I think. So let's see. Now we are at the infirmary. Vic tells a wounded soldier to relax. Then Vic exits the infirmary. And Janet and he have a little conversation. They're kind of like, oh, we got off on the wrong foot, blah, blah, blah. And I swear, like, over the next 10 minutes, like, Vic goes in the infirmary and out the infirmary, in the infirmary and out the infirmary, and then into the colonel and out. It's just a lot of that, you know, they don't have a lot of locations is what I'm trying to say here.
No, not the shirt out.
So she keeps asking Vic if that was Congressman Cooper. But Vic keeps rebuffing her question, saying, oh, I'm not the guy to ask, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. Typical stuff. Meanwhile, Seagal, a.k.a. Jake, is stuck behind enemy lines with sweaty AJ Styles. He says he can't move his legs. Seagal says he can't do more until the cavalry arrives. Do you think military guys actually refer to the other like people as the cavalry? It just seems so cliche.
I don't know. Maybe it does seem a bit cliche though.
Yeah. So now we're back. Hold on. Let me freshen the pipes here. I'm slowly turning into Steven Seagal over here. So we're back at the base. Vic reports to the colonel. He asks why the congressman was out there and why he wasn't killed, but his security team was. Colonel says he doesn't know. Vic asks to go back to retrieve the left behind. Colonel says no. Vic exits. Vic tells Van Damme that they have to wait. Now we're back in the infirmary. Vic talks to the guy who got his eyes injured, one of the other soldiers. And oh man, I roll. This is the cringiest of cringe. So injured blind soldier gives Vic a rabbit's foot. Who the fuck carries a rabbit's foot in 2016?
He had that during the firefight, too.
I know he did.
And it's like, well, this rabbit foot doesn't seem to be working. You're blind right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it's just, it's very first draft. And also maybe it's old Fred Olin Ray showing his age. Like maybe a rabbit's foot would have flown in like the 80s, like maybe the 90s. But come on, there's got to be something else. Like even in Rambo, he had that weird little green thing that he got from the Asian lady. I don't even remember what that thing was. But
yeah, I don't either.
But yeah, rabbit's foot.
Yeah, pretty dumb, pretty dumb.
So lame. So Vic talks to the congressman. He asks if they were ambushed because basically the congressman is laying there sort of half conscious next to the blind guy because they're still in the infirmary. Blind guy says congressman said a name. I put down Abdullah the Butcher or something, but it's the name of some big time terrorist. Vic exits. Janet approaches asking him more questions. She wants to call a truce. Vic calls her a spoiled rich girl and also accuses her of being like someone's daughter in the military, which she actually is. She asks to ride along on a mission, and Vic says it's not his call. Any comments on any of that stuff?
No, I mean, at this point, I was like, oh, this is just going to be... And I was worried, too. I'm like, oh, they're going to have like a million different like... characters and threads, and none of them are going to be like particularly well developed. And sure enough,
wow, you really called it. So now we're back in the Seagal sort of bad town area. Seagal sits motionless with his sunglasses on. Get used to that image because that's the most you get from him. And this is where AJ Styles is sweating bullets, but Seagal is so freaking cool with his sunglasses on. He just doesn't sweat. He's just that cool. Now we're back at the base. I don't even think anything of interest even happened in that scene.
I don't think so either. Like, there's a lot of scenes like that. Like, there's some scenes with like the colonel or whatever back at the base that are just kind of like pointless.
Yeah, I mean, they're just killing time, so they actually have a runtime that makes a feature film.
A lot of Vic being like, oh, I want to go save Steven Seagal, and the guy's like, no, because you got to do this other thing. And then Vic's like telling Rob Van Dam, oh, they won't let us go save him, we got to do this other thing.
Yep. Yeah, we're gonna get to that other thing in a minute here. So Vic gets called back to the colonel's tent for like the 450th time. And there's a guy there, Bashir, like a Middle Eastern gentleman. He's an informant. He says a military truck broke down. And basically, colonel says you have to go out there and get it because it's filled with, I don't know, ammunition and all this other stuff. Vic then asks about Abdullah the Butcher. And the colonel is like, oh, how do you know that name? The colonel says that the congressman's agenda was to prove that the military efforts out there were worthless. And again, this is all just sort of, as Yehel said earlier, kind of pointless. What's the word I'm looking for here?
It's just filler.
Yes. I mean, like... but the actual literary term is... can't think. I'm all medicated here. But yeah, it's pointless filler because none of this stuff really pays off. So then basically he tasks Vic with going out to get this truck. So Vic rallies the troops once again. And now we're back with Seagal and sweaty AJ Styles. And he has to go get water. Seagal is like, I gotta go. And then AJ Styles is like, where are you going? And Seagal is like, I'm gonna go get some water. And then he slowly descends the stairs. And the worst part is that we never cut. We have to watch him descend the entire staircase.
Waddle down the stairs.
It's pathetic. And so sad. So now we're on a truck. Van Damme and the boys make their way across the desert. And yeah, this is when I definitely noticed. I was like, wow, the Middle East looks a lot like Southern California. Then they exit the truck. Vic tells Bashir to walk out and call someone's name. Did you find this part weird? Like, is he trying to, like, test him to see if, like, Bashir is, like, on their side or something?
Yeah, like, that's what it seemed like. Like, sometimes Vic is, like, friendly and normal towards Bashir, and then the other half of the time, like, he's just rude and untrusting of him, and, like, yeah, one point he, like, basically, like, threatens to kill him if he doesn't, like, you know, get the this lady that we're about to meet to talk.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, very weird. And I will say, like, at one point, I thought that they were making Vic, like, a little bit more of a nuanced character.
Mm-hmm.
Because he does help the woman that they find and this and that. And he comes around to the reporter. But, really, he's just kind of an ass.
Yeah. Indeed. Indeed. So, Janet starts taking pics. Actually, before that, we see... okay, all right, so let me back up a little. Vic tells Bashir to walk out, as we said. Meanwhile, we see Janet has stolen away on the truck. She starts taking pics. Vic tries to tell her to get back on the truck. Of course, she's not going to listen because she's like Lois Lane. The driver of the truck approaches Bashir. Bashir says he brought help. And that driver's name was like Tyler, I believe.
Okay.
Tyler, the driver of the down truck, says there's a problem with the fuel line. And they throw around, I can't remember if it's here, maybe a little bit later. They throw around all this, like, mechanic jargon to sound like they know what they're talking about. Vic looks into the truck, and this is when he finds the Middle Eastern woman that Yahel mentioned. And she even has a child. So we cut back to Seagal as he creeps very, very, very slowly around the city. He takes a pack off of the corpse of a dead soldier, and that is basically all that happens.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, we're back with the trucks. Oh, there's got to be a way to make this more entertaining.
Yeah, this stuff with the two trucks out in the desert was like, I felt like it went on forever.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, I mean... You know, we're basically just waiting. Or there's kind of like two important things. One, they're trying to figure out like what the deal is with this woman, if they can trust her, if she's part of some kind of setup. Two, Vic feels like this is like they're sitting ducks out there, and they're eventually gonna get shot if they don't get the truck going.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much it. But it takes forever to get to the point of, okay, the guy Bashir gets threatened enough by Vic to like finally get this woman to explain who she is, and then these guys, terrorist guys, show up and start shooting at them.
Right. And we're almost
but it takes like 30 minutes to get to that.
Right. Yeah, there's a bunch of needless stuff that we have to get through, and I've got it all written down right here. Vic tells Jennings to fix the truck. Vic tells or asks Bashir why he didn't mention the woman. Do you remember what his reason was? He was like, oh, I didn't want to. It was a really dumb reason.
The radio. No, the radio in the car doesn't work. Remember? So he couldn't.
No. Why? Yeah. I guess that was it. Yeah. So Jennings, a.k.a. Detroit, helps Janet find MREs, like just snoozeville stuff, just mm-hmm. time killer stuff. Jennings / Detroit gives her a gun, which I mean, that's. I wonder if that's, you know, against military protocol, if some civilian is like...
Well, he even says I shouldn't do this.
Right.
But considering the situation, here you go.
And then, of course, Janet tells Vic she's an expert marksman. Can you say the same, Vic? And then we see her handling the gun later, and it just looks awful.
Mm-hmm.
So Seagal, back with Seagal, he returns to sweaty AJ Styles and gives him some water, and he goes back to sitting down on his chair. Oh man, you got to read between the lines here, Yahel. It's the subtext. You know, I know a lot of writers who use subtext, and they're all cowards. But Fred Olen Ray,
yes.
He finds a way to make it work. I mean, there's a lot going on here as Seagal returns to sitting in his chair. But, you know, I just don't have time to talk about it. We got to move on. So Detroit says he should be able to fix the truck. Vic and Van Damme yell at Detroit for some reason. And then I can't believe they actually have a real baby here. I mean, I think they only have it for the close-up that they show.
Yeah, I think it's just like that one time.
Yeah. And I mean, who, who was going to let Fred, Olin, Ray, like, watch their kid on the set? But
right.
And he's like, oh, I got some great parts for your kid here. So Jennings says he needs another part. Bashir says the lady wants to talk to Vic. Janet shows scratch marks on the back of the lady's back to show that she had been whipped. And at this point, I'm like, wow, I guess Janet is a medic too. Is there anything she can't do, Yahel?
Well, she doesn't like do anything for her. She's just like, is like, because Vic is like, does it look infected? And she's like, I don't think so.
Right. And she's like, but dabbing it with like, I don't know, cloth or something.
Alcohol, rubbing alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and then finally,
there's no Steven Seagal who can stop the bleeding.
Right. Just by, you know, giving it a look or something. So now they're
he probably just sucked the blood and ate it. He was probably just hungry.
So now they are
man, you got some real taste of sweet blood. You know, that reminds me of the gumbo I used to eat down at the bayou. The gumbo I made as the expert chef that I am. Right. You know, I trained Gordon Ramsay. I gave him the name Ramsay, you know. He used to just be Gordon.
Have you heard about how he also, I guess he hangs around like MMA fighters and like takes credit for their wins and stuff, saying that he taught them like the moves that won them the match and stuff? Have you heard about that?
Of course, man.
Oh, I'm glad you agree with me about your phoniness, Mr. Seagal. All right. We'll have to have you on the podcast again.
Yeah, I'm good with phones. I can fix them.
Anything that requires me to just sit and like stare, I'm really good at.
Yeah.
So they're finally attacked. And then Vic, they talks to Van Damme. Vic sends Jennings to the other truck. And this was so weird. And I feel like they must have improvised it or something. Sorry, they're being shot at. And Vic is like, Jennings, you need to go over there and fix that truck and bring it back over here. Can you do it? And he's like, yes, I can. And Vic goes, okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, and then like Jennings runs and then he gets shot. Why did Jennings need a countdown?
Because they were going to provide coverage.
I mean, is that normal?
Because he said, see, I mean, I hate that you're making me defend this movie in any way. But no, I mean, they explained it because they have a little back and forth because first Vic is going to go to the truck and then Jennings is like, I can do it. And Vic right away is like, okay, sure. I don't want to die. But right. He does tell Jennings before he goes, like, okay, we're going to provide you as much flank coverage as possible. And that's why he counts them down so that they can start providing the coverage at the same time.
Okay. So what you're saying is you love the movie. I got it.
What I'm saying, Steve, is I got a beard. I've got long hair and clearly the tactical skills to be a part of Steven Seagal. Excuse me, Overwatch's platoon and you don't.
Why didn't we tie our hair back in ponytails?
You're just a jinx, Steve.
That's why we don't have any downloads or watches.
That's right.
Okay.
But you are an expert marksman.
Yes. I am an expert and medic, part-time medic plus actor.
Yes.
So, okay. Jennings gets shot. Jennings, but then he sort of hobbles over to the truck. Janet very poorly shoots some bad guys. Doesn't look like an expert marksman at all, but hey,
nope. What
do I know?
But you know what? She's the only one hitting any of them.
Yeah, it's true. Jennings drives the truck over to the others. They move the baby and the mom onto the other truck. Janet barks orders at the lady. Oh, God, this is hilarious. This is your classic. Okay, so she's going to speak English slowly and loudly.
Oh, right.
To the Middle Eastern lady who we has already been established doesn't understand English. Because yeah, that always
the
works.
Since the last 20 minutes establishing she doesn't speak English, and she also doesn't like speak like she speaks like a very one of the minor languages,
right?
That's not spoken by a lot of people in the area.
Yeah.
So even Bashir can't communicate with her very easily.
Right. So then Janet gets shot, then the bad guys they stop shooting, and then Jennings tends to Janet's wound. Now we're back with a Seagal and sidekick. They talk some more. Seagal says, you remind me of my little brother. And, like, that's, like, the whole reason for that scene. Again, subtext. You got to read into it. Now we're back with Vic. He gives a camera to Janet while her wounds are being tended to. Vic thinks the reason the bad guys stopped shooting was because they saw the woman. Vic asks Bashir who the Middle Eastern woman is by threatening him. And yeah, you already mentioned this, and it's very...
Yeah, puts a gun up to his head, and it's like, oh, it'd be a good idea for you to... I can't even remember what he says,
yeah, it's
but
like...
basically implies that he'll kill him if he doesn't get her to talk.
Yeah.
Even though, like, Bashir's already explained numerous times, like, hey, like, you know, she speaks like some... she must speak some kind of, like, not... use very, very much used language.
Yeah, like a dialect, a very obscure dialect.
Yeah, dialect. Thank you. That's what I was
But saying. I love the thought process here is like, I'm going to kill you unless you learn that language right now and translate it for me somehow. And he's just like, oh, okay, I'll do it then since you're going to kill me. Like before, I was only half-assing it. But sure, whatever you say since you threatened my life. So now we're back with Seagal. He spies some bad guy activity. He says he wants to get out of there, and he's going to go get a truck. Like, why didn't he do that earlier? I guess he just got tired of waiting.
I guess it was too much activity or something. Maybe, like...
I'm getting hungry.
And the by too much activity, not from him, but from the Taliban on the street. By the way, I guess there's only Taliban in this town?
Yeah, right.
Oh, wait, they do say it's abandoned,
yes.
Actually. They do say it's an abandoned village.
It reminded me of, like... like that town in, I think it's Metal Gear Solid 4, that where you first open up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, when I was watching, when they first showed like the sets for the abandoned village, and by the way, I checked the name of the town or the village that they give it, it's made up.
Oh,
it's
sure,
not like
sure,
a real
sure.
place. I was kind of curious about that. But anyway, I think the set looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not very big,
right?
But it does look good, I think. However, yeah, when I came up, I was like, man, this looks like a level from like Call of Duty or Modern Warfare or something when you're in the Middle East.
Yeah, well, I mean, this was 2016 and all that stuff was going on at the time, I guess is still kind of going on or just...
It's been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
I don't think it's ever going to stop.
Yeah, right. Okay, so...
And not until our good Lord returns, Steven.
Our good Lord? Seagal?
The Lord and Savior returns and... washes us with his blood.
Are we Jesus?
yes, you've heard of the good Lord.
Okay, let's move on. So Vic asked Bashir what he found out, and magically he found out that the woman is the daughter-in-law of a Taliban leader and the baby is his grandson. So Vic and Van Damme talk. Vic thinks that the Middle Eastern lady is his ticket to get his boys back. So Seagal, now we're back with Seagal again. He creeps around the city again. He finds a radio and asks for extraction. So, and then like the person on the other end of the radio is like, yeah, no problem. Like
No problem. Overwatch. We've been waiting for your call.
Right. So now we don't even like need Vic and his like,
would you like us to fill the extraction vehicle with the usual gummy bears?
Yeah, I was going to say Big Mac value meal. Yeah. Would you like us to fill it with McDonald's fries, Mr. Seagal? So yeah, it sort of renders...
The Oscar Mayer Wienermobile pulls up to extract.
That would make this movie way better.
But in a fit of hungry confusion, he just eats it.
Yeah, and he can't get out. So then Vic has to come... There, we just fixed the movie. No more there plot holes.
Okay. That's what we did. We fixed it.
So Vic tells everyone that Jennings is taking everyone back and that he and Van Damme are going to go to the town basically to get Seagal and his sidekick, Sweaty AJ Styles. So Vic and Van Damme once again gear up. Seagal... He sees Van Damme and Vic enter the town. Seagal wakes up Rich, a.k.a. Sweaty AJ Styles, and he then gives him a cross. And there's a lot of necklaces and trinkets in this movie.
Told you, man. Our good Lord and Savior's coming to free us.
I mean, is everyone in the military just the most superstitious, like, religious person or something?
I mean, I'm sure a lot of them are religious, but yeah, no, you're right.
Let us know. Are you in the military and do you listen to Obscurity Now? Let us know what it's actually like.
Yeah, I'd love to see the Venn diagram of Security Now listeners and religious military members.
Right, yeah, absolutely. I'll check my analytics later on.
Yeah, what's your trinket that you hold on to when your life is needlessly in danger over oil? Let us know in the comments.
Yeah. So bad guys show up around Vic in their truck. Then we get to see Abdullah the Butcher, you know, the lead Taliban guy. Vic and Abdullah talk. It's like your very typical sort of, you know, lead good guy meets lead bad guy. Vic tells him to have his men put their guns down. And meanwhile, Seagal scans the area overhead. Vic tells Van Damme to let the Middle Eastern lady go. And the lady walks out. Now, I don't know if we painted this picture well enough. But, you know, if you picture your typical Middle Eastern woman, she's covered.
All you see is her eyes.
Yes, covered in head to toe.
So like a, not a burqa, but, you know, similar level of coverage.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So she walks out and, you know, I guess as the viewer, we're supposed to think, oh my gosh, Vic is so heartless. He only cares about his men. So he's going to let this woman go back to the man who's been beating her.
Well, again, I can't believe you're making me defend the script again. But when Vic comes back to Rob Van Damme and the woman, you know, he tells Rob, okay, we're gonna let her, you know, go and walk over to Abdullah. And Rob Van Damme's like, are you serious? And he's like, well, what choice do we have? And because they are outnumbered like 20-1,
right,
by a bunch of like Taliban guys, mm-hmm, in with their guns and stuff. So like, I actually thought it made sense because like, really, what are they gonna do?
Sure.
At that point, and I will say they got me with this scene. Because I didn't see the twist.
Oh,
coming.
I did. I saw it coming from a mile away. And the question here is, like, why wasn't Van Damme in on it? It's like they purposely kept him in the dark. So
No. Van Damme was acting to trick the to keep up the charade.
Yeah, but the guys were over on, like, the opposite side of, like, the area. They weren't. They couldn't even see Van Damme's reaction.
They were like 30 or 40 feet away. Well, and Van Damme's just loud and being like, oh, what, really?
Since there wasn't a wide shot, we'll never really know.
I mean, no, there is a shot between like when he's walking up to Abdul, whatever the guy's name was,
yeah,
Abdul,
you're
something.
Right. But
so they're not that far away.
Okay. I mean, I guess I could suspend my disbelief and pretend that Rob Van Damme is acting along to keep up the charade.
I thought it was one of the few good things that they did well in the movie was setting that up, that trick.
Mm-hmm. I mean, hey, like I said,
it got me.
I'll give Fred Olin Ray some credit for trying to.
I mean,
to
I don't
save.
Know. He might. I mean, he might have just stumbled into a good scene or two, but I don't think he was trying.
He was trying to earn his paycheck. All right. So yeah, basically they bring the Middle Eastern woman out. God, I lost my spot here. And she
walks out to meet with the Taliban leader,
mm-hmm,
in the middle of the whatever.
And then she takes off her rags or whatever you want to call them. And surprise, surprise, it is Janet in the place of the Middle Eastern woman.
That's right. You know why, Steve? Because she is a journalist, photographer, expert marksman,
medic,
plus actor.
Yes.
She's a medic, and she totally fooled him.
Absolutely. And and she just happens to be, I guess, the same height as this woman. And she puts like a grenade, like necklace around Abdullah's.
No, she stabs. Did you not pay attention to this wonderful film? She stabs him.
Yeah, but he also put a thing on his neck, though. It happened.
I don't think he had anything on his neck. She like stabs him with like a thing full of grenades. Maybe she then also puts something on his neck, but because he tries to like pull it out, but he can't.
Oh, she stabbed him with a thing full of grenades. Okay, well, there was a thing full of grenades. I know that for sure.
It's like a bunch of grenades that are like kind of tied together.
Sure.
And at the end is like some kind of knife or something. And she stabs him with that.
Mm-hmm.
And when he can't pull it out, that's when all his little Taliban buddies go, "Oh fuck, this guy!" They're like, "We've seen this before."
Right.
So they scatter, mm-hmm, you know, and he explodes. Which, but yeah, I actually didn't think it didn't dawn on me that it was the white lady, the American
Janet,
lady.
Janet.
until she did the reveal.
Right, right. So then there's a firefight. Van Damme tries to blow his explosives because before he had been setting explosives up all around Metal Gear Solid City, whatever you want to call it. But they,
yeah, I think at the van, right? Like,
yeah, and but they won't go off. But that's okay because Steven Seagal is there, and he shoots the bombs with his gun, and then they work because.
How did Steven Seagal even hear that? Because he's wearing like the earphones that you wear to protect yourself from like gunfire sounds.
Right, right.
So how did he hear Rob Van Dam like say, "Ah, oh, the detonator's jammed from across the whatever."
He's just that good, Yahel. It's Steven Seagal we're talking about here.
You're right.
AKA Jake, AKA Overwatch. So basically the bad guys are stopped. Vic thanks Janet. She takes a picture of him and Van Damme. They're kind of doing like the Predator handshake sort of thing. Vic and Seagal, they have a little back and forth about their bet from before. Now you owe me $60, like something along. And this is when, for some reason, Seagal's fake Cajun accent comes out. And like the very last line of the movie is Janet. She's like, "Hey, Jake," again, that's Steven Seagal. Like, "Is it true you're as good as they say you are?" And I was very surprised. He finally takes his glasses off and he says, "Sometimes." And I guess that's supposed to be funny. And then the movie ends. What are your thoughts on the end there?
I mean, ended kind of how I expected it to. Mm-hmm. I did think it was funny that they had Rob Van Dam do the RVD pose.
Yes, at the end. That was funny. Yes.
When she goes to take his picture, mm-hmm. for those that don't know, Rob Van Dam does like a thing where he points at himself with his thumbs when he was wrestling. And yeah, they have him do that. It almost made it worth it for that moment, but not really.
You know, I don't know. I guess Van Dam was a little older at this point. It's like, if you're going to cast him, why not make him do some of his cool aerial stuff? It's like he was completely wasted.
He's still super mobile because, I mean, just this year he was wrestling on Dynamite and he was moving around really well and still doing pretty much everything he used to do.
Right. Yeah, you're absolutely
and
right.
And certainly in a movie,
mm-hmm. I mean,
you know, where you're not live in front of an audience, you could, you know, block it in a way. But there's no physical fight. It's right. Only like shootouts.
I mean, they would have to like write it in to where like he and some, you know, jacked Taliban guy get like locked in like, I don't know, some sort of building or something.
A room or
with
something.
No guns. And he's like, let me show you, you know.
Like they're both out of ammo or something.
Yes. And that would have made this movie a lot better. So are you ready to render your verdict on Sniper Special Ops?
Let's do it. Remember before we rated it, that
is the question. All right, man. Wrestling with Gaming, man. Yeah, hell, that would be that's your code name, your YouTube handle. Mm. Do you think that Sniper Special Ops, man, should be remembered for all of human history, man, or tossed in the black hole of obscurity, man, never to be heard from again, man?
Yeah, unfortunately, it was bad. As we knew it was not going to be a good movie, but it wasn't so bad it's good, kind of bad. It was just boring. Mm-hmm. So yeah, for me, for everything that we've said so far, it's a not remember. What about you?
Oh yeah, this is totally forgettable. I mean, I even consider myself a pseudo fan of Fred Olen Ray. I've actually interacted with him a few times on social.
What does that mean? You guys had on Grindr?
On social media.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. He said interacted with him.
He hangs out in a lot of the like film Facebook groups that I'm in, and he's a really nice guy. But that doesn't change the fact that Sniper Special Ops is a snooze fest for the most part. That there just wasn't enough like hamminess. Yeah, there wasn't any like so good it's bad. So for all those reasons and more. Sniper Special Ops shall be obliterated, man.
The heathens have spoken. You are obliterated.
Okay, well, yeah, I don't know. Like, do you think that back in the, you know, 2016, if you were, like, sitting around with the cable channel on like a lazy Saturday and this movie came on, you would at least like fall asleep to it?
I don't know, man.
I think it's a good...
I don't think so. It's pretty
it's
bad.
It's a good take a nap movie. Just white noise in the background, basically, if you want to be put to sleep.
Yeah, there's too much gunfire for... And it doesn't happen... like, it happens just sporadically enough where it would bother you. Like, suddenly, like, oh, God, what is
right.
that?
Right. So, I also... all right. So, real quick. Like, so, Seagal is basically known for hiding behind his, like... his beard, his sunglasses, and his hat now. Can you think of some other, like, stars real quick who do that? I can think of one. While you think, I'll tell you. Like, John Cusack. He always wears a hat now in, like, everything that he's in.
Oh, is he, like, balding or something?
He's got a little bit going on, like, receding hairline. It's just, like, it just draws more attention to it, if you ask me. And then, of course, Van Damme, like, he's been wearing shades for a long time, ever since, you know, he did a whole bunch of drugs and fucked up his eyes, I guess.
I mean, you see his eyes a lot in this movie, though.
No, no, not Rob Van Damme, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, Jean-Claude Van Damme. Oh, so, I haven't seen anything recent.
What world do we live in where we have to differentiate between guys named Van Damme?
The best kind, Steve.
All right. Well, I think we should probably go ahead and call it there, like, before I die. And plus, I have to go pick up my boy. Anything you want to add before we sign off here?
No. I mean, if you want to watch this movie, I think I mentioned it earlier, but it is on Tubi. Don't recommend it.
Yeah, maybe if you want to fall asleep. Watch some other Fredel and Ray films. Don't forget... Chainsaw Hookers. Hollywood Chainsaw Hookers. I highly recommend it. Okay, we'll see you next Sunday as we continue to unearth more obscure media, only on Obscurity Now. See you next time.
You've been enjoying Obscurity Now, a podcast that's recorded live to tape and streamed to Twitch and YouTube. Subscribe so you never miss an episode or hilarious quip. Take us with you by following the download links provided in the show notes to wherever you get podcasts. And take notice of our various social media links, if that's what you're into. I'm not here to judge. And make sure you join us live next week at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, as we continue to discuss more obscure media only on Obscurity Now.